السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International, simulcast on Sirius FM. Last week, unfortunately, we were not able to air the show due to an outside broadcast of the Sira program. But today, once again, I am very grateful to have the opportunity to have my guest on show today, the very dynamic Dr. Shabir Majiva, who is a specialist psychiatrist and regarded as an expert in the field of ADHD. Now, Dr. Jiva has a practice in Toronto, Canada, as well as here in Johannesburg. He has been invited to be a guest speaker at various conferences, medical conferences around the country, internationally, locally. He's appeared in various magazines, various radio talk shows. And again, like I said, he's regarded as an expert in the field of ADHD. The purpose of this program, obviously, is to educate and empower our beloved listeners. The condition ADHD, lots of confusion regarding it. Often we see children that we think are very hyperactive and we're like, oh my God, these parents cannot control this child, or what is going on with this child. And this is what we're hoping to achieve. We're trying to let people gain empathy, gain understanding as to what attention deficit hyperactive disorder is, to understand how to assist parents of learners with ADHD, how to assist people with ADHD. At the end of the day, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us unique and special. Each and every one of us has some challenge, but moving forward, we need to learn to accept, embrace, and make the best of our lives, inshallah. So, without further ado, Dr. Shabir Majiva, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam, thank you very much. Can you hear me properly?
We can hear you perfectly, we can hear you perfectly. Dr. Jiva, I just need to thank you, you know, for making the time to be with us. We also want to remind our listeners, please call us on 011-854-1548 for any questions that you have regarding ADHD. Please feel free to call us. Dr. Jiva is the person to answer all these questions for you. So please, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, Dr. Jiva, I need to ask you first and foremost the question that a lot of us need clarity on. What is the difference between ADD and ADHD?
Well, the only difference is activity or movement. So ADD, from the name, is attention deficit disorder.
Mm-hmm.
ADD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So about 8 years ago, we had a funeral and ADD died. So there's no more ADD. We don't use that term anymore. We say ADHD. Three types. The old ADD is called ADHD inattentive type.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the ADHD hyperactive impulsive type. That's the very active one. And the last one, the most common, is the combined type. So they have, most people are so used to the active one and the impulsive one, but they don't know much about the inattentive one. And those ones are usually missed.
Mm-hmm.
So the inattentive ones are 23% of the kids. So that's a very high percentage. They are usually girls and they are missed.
Yes.
And then we have the hyperactive impulsive that everybody knows and they think they're 100%, but actually they're only about 13 to 15%.
Wow. Wow.
And the most common is the combined type, 64%. So you get the hyperactive impulsive, number two and number three is combined. Those, number two and number three, are high energy ones. They're easy to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
They're always getting trouble. Ones are difficult to diagnose and they're misdiagnosed.
Yes, yes. Now, often, obviously, you know, as an educator myself working with children or even parents, you know, when they compare their kids, they have two or three children, and all of a sudden you have this one particular child who, you know, would be maybe very hyperactive, and maybe that child just had a lot of sugar that day. At which point should a parent be concerned to say, I think my child is a little bit over energetic, or like you said, sometimes with, you know, the absence of that hyperactivity, but something's not all there.
Okay.
What are the alarm bells? What are the red flags?
Okay, I'll tell you some of the basic symptoms that most of you are aware of. First of all, it's a neurobiological condition. That means there's a medical condition, there's an imbalance of neurotransmitters.
Okay.
And the three main criteria, the three main symptoms, number one, let's talk about impulsivity. Usually the kids, they blurt out answers in class,
mm-hmm.
They interrupt the parents, they might even interrupt the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the one that everybody knows, the overactive symptom, hyperactivity, and there the kids can't sit still, they squirm and fidget, they run or climb, they can't play quietly, they're on the go, and the newest symptom that's always missed is girls talk too much. But talking too much is an overactive symptom. In the boys' side, they might have movement of the body, and the girls' side, they need movement of the tongue. If the tongue moves a lot, then you don't need the other movement of the body. That's enough criteria to qualify for the symptom of hyperactivity.
Okay.
So it can be hyperactive on its own, it can be hyperactive in torture, the high energy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are easy to diagnose because these kids are usually in trouble at school, and
yes,
and they get They get into trouble with friends and everywhere. But the one, the next one, is the inattentive type, ADHD, inattentive, this is mm-hmm. ADD, and that's the one that was more common in girls, but today, any sex can get that kind, and that's a low-energy one, and there are symptoms like difficulty paying attention, which is the word AD comes from attention deficit,
mm-hmm.
Does not listen, cannot finish things, cannot organize things, always doing things, easily distracted and forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
All these symptoms, you do not manage, they go on to adulthood. So, if you have these symptoms, they can be the active type that's easy to diagnose, they can have the combined type that's easy to diagnose,
mm-hmm.
inattentive is difficult to diagnose. But when do you treat them? Very many people have ADHD traits.
Mm-hmm.
See, not ADHD, but very many people have ADHD. Traits. So when these ADHD traits impairs one or three areas in a child, your schoolwork,
mm-hmm.
your homework,
mm-hmm.
with your siblings and that, and outside not having friends.
Okay.
The adult, if it affects your marriage, it affects your work,
mm-hmm.
and in your community socially, if it affects you, then you need to treat it. So when they, very many people have these traits, but when there's impairment in one of these three areas, you have to treat them.
Mm-hmm.
So the main area, usually the teachers would complain that your son is not doing as well as the other kids.
Yes.
And in your home, or the kid is not doing as well as the other kids in the class,
mm-hmm.
then the parents are sitting in a predicament.
Yes.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
Yes, yes. You know, when you spoke about, I just need to take you back because I was giggling when you said it with the girls where they talk too much. I think with us, we just made like that. That's just how girls are. But obviously, in your professional, background, you know that it's obviously linked to various other symptoms. Hence, you know, you said those are one of the traits. With parents, like we said, you know, the red flags, when should they be, consulting with the doctor? So, with regards to, say, like a parent calling now, an educator calling the parent now to the school and saying, you know, I'm having problems with your child and this is what's going on. What would be the next step? Who should the parents consult first?
Okay, so it is a very scary situation because you are high-functioning parents, maybe in business or working well, and then you might have three children and two of them are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this child that has possible ADHD and the teacher is complaining.
Yes.
And the first thing is that denial, it's not true, he's going to outbreak, cannot be ADHD or anything like that.
Yes.
Usually the teachers are not allowed to say
anything
about Ritalin, nor are they allowed to say about ADHD. They just say your child can be better and is not doing as well as is expected, would you consider having him assessed?
Yes. No, you're 100% correct there. Obviously, educators are not allowed to diagnose. You know, if we see a concern with regarding children's behavior, we can recommend that, you know what, I think you should seek some professional assistance regarding your child's behavior. But obviously, teachers are not allowed to diagnose. We're obviously not qualified to be doing that.
Yeah, and you'll just get bad blood and you'll get into bad relationship with the parents if the teacher starts that.
Yes.
Usually in school you need one teacher who's interested in ADHD and has made them a liaison teacher with the parents.
Yes, yes.
So then where do they start? What do they do once there's some difficulty like that? The first thing, they talk to some of the friends who might have ADHD kids or might have kids that are under treatment, and everybody has an opinion about ADHD and everybody has an opinion about treatment, so you get half saying nay and half saying nay.
Mm.
But that's okay, you talk to your friends so they can worry with you. And then after that, you go to books, and there's many books. Today with the internet and videos and tapes, you can get great things.
Mm-hmm.
The father of ADHD is called Halliwell, And the best book that he's written 19 books, is Delivered from Destruction. And the initial book was called Driven from Destruction, but the newer one was Delivered from Destruction. So you can read books, you can talk to your friends, videos, tapes.
Mm-hmm.
You can attend various community groups. And after that, you can look at various different people. You can look for people who are not even doctors as yet, like social workers,
mm-hmm.
OTs, psychologists, anybody
mm-hmm.
that has knowledge and experience about ADHD.
And obviously, I mean, the experts, because, you know, with the internet, there's a wealth of information, but, you know, we can't diagnose based on what WebMed or Google says. You know, the thing is going to the professionals, to the right people, going to your GP, I would assume, and then after that, you know, I'm sure that the general practitioner would recommend if the child needs further assessment by a psychiatrist or psychologist. I would assume that would be the correct steps to follow initially.
No, slightly different, because many GPs are not well versed with ADHD or may not be accepting it, and even many psychiatrists are specialists. So you need the degrees, doesn't matter what these qualifications are. You have to have experience with ADHD and know about ADHD. That's number one. And number two, you have to like him, so he's a doctor or a therapist that's going to work with your child.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a doctor. So anybody who has experience with ADHD and who likes ADHD, and lastly, can bring out the best in these kids.
Yes.
The newest treatment is strength-based, because if you get stuck with your GP and he doesn't know enough about how to diagnose ADHD and treat it, or he can be a psychiatrist who doesn't believe in ADHD, because there's still a lot of people that don't believe that it exists.
Yes.
Although we have found two genes for ADHD that will come to our office in 2 years where we can do tests for ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's a clinical diagnosis. There's no test. You cannot do a psychological test to determine ADHD. So you go to somebody who knows about ADHD or who has an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Second, somebody who you like and who will support you accepting the situation and working with your child or as an adult.
I see. Dr. Jiva, what are the current developments in the research of ADHD?
Current developments are several things. Number one is that there's a chemical amine theory that means the dopamine norepinephrine theory, which basically means dopamine and norepinephrine are two neurotransmitters low in ADHD. So dopamine is a protein derivative, that's why they need a high protein diet.
Mm-hmm.
And the dopamine helps you focus. And so when you do the word ADHD, the AD is attention deficit, is the lack of dopamine. So you have to create more dopamine.
Yes.
And the HD is hyperactivity disorder, there's not enough norepinephrine. So norepinephrine is needed, is the brakes of the Ferrari. So if you don't have enough norepinephrine, Hellerwell says that ADHD is a Ferrari brain and bicycle brake.
Yes.
They are bright, they're clever, the IQ is high, the EQ is a bit low, it catches up at the age of 16. So there's a shortage of dopamine and norepinephrine, and we have to find every different way to get increased levels of dopamine and norepinephrine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exercise really needs medication. If you exercise, your dopamine and norepinephrine goes up, but it only lasts, the exercise impact in the morning lasts 4 hours, in the afternoon lasts 2.5 hours, so that's why you have to supplement it with some medication.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that, other new thing is that we diagnose ADHD from about 5.5 to up to the age of 12, any year during that time, and most of these, if any of the kids are missed, we pick them up in adulthood, but it doesn't start in adulthood, it starts in childhood, and it's usually missed. So 70%, you don't outgrow the condition.
That was actually going to be my next question. Is there a point where children outgrow ADHD, or do children with ADHD grow up to be ADHD adults?
No, you don't outgrow the condition. 70% goes to adulthood, the 30% they don't show in adulthood, they accommodate.
Okay.
Because of the 70% that goes to adulthood, the world statistics of children ADHD is 9 to 11% of the school-going kids.
Okay.
Those 70% goes to adulthood, so about 7% of the world adults are adult ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about 60% of the ADHD kids are being treated, and about only 20% of the ADHD adults are being treated. So 80% of adults are not being treated. And 40% of the kids are not being treated. Now, so there's a talk on the media that it's overdiagnosed and overprescribed, and that Yes, we have to study more. We've got better tools, and people have become more affluent and more sophisticated, and the internet helps them a lot to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
And most times it's quite accurate. Whatever the parents pick up on the internet is quite accurate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's been lots of advancements in research with regards to ADHD.
There's still a lot of stigma, especially with Indian parents, that they're difficulty accepting it, and they are scared that the child might be called slow. And the fact is, ADHD is a normal and high IQ condition.
Yes.
Emotional quotient, that's low, but that picks up. They are about 3 years behind, but at the age of 16, they all pick up, they even out. And the magic that ADHD kids can do, or young adults can do, with proper treatment, regular kids cannot do it. They do like Jim Carrey, Richard Branson, John Cruise, Robin Williams, Einstein, Kennedy, they were all ADHD. So
and can I add to that also, I think the first conversation we had was when you introduced yourself and you explained to me that my name is Dr. Shabir Amachiwa and I am ADHD. So can we add you to the list as well and look at the amazing work that you have been doing internationally in promoting this condition? I won't say promoting, but in educating and empowering people in this condition. So you yourself being a patient with ADHD.
Yeah, I'm my family runs, ADHD runs through other family,
mm-hmm.
and my late mother had ADHD, I have ADHD, my son also has.
Mm-hmm.
He has the inattentive type, the low energy, they usually call them lazy, crazy or stupid, that's the title of a book.
Okay.
We are the high energy, always busy, doing things, always getting into trouble.
Mm.
Girls that talk too much and busy everywhere. So ADHD, is, as I said, is highly genetic. So whenever you're pointing a finger at your child or the teacher is complaining, look at yourself. For every two fingers you point at the child, you should point one finger at yourself. It's highly, highly genetic. It comes from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
The main cause is genetic, 82%.
Mm-hmm.
The second main cause is birth trauma, low birth weight,
mm-hmm.
prem babies, suction, forceps, emergency seizures. If you damage the baby in any way during delivery, that can cause ADHD too.
Mm-hmm.
And the big other cause, I suppose it's not too prevalent in our community, is women that are pregnant, drinking, smoking,
mm-hmm.
taking substances, so that can all cause ADHD.
Cause ADHD as well. Okay, Dr. Chiwa, how can parents create an ADHD-friendly environment for their child at home?
Okay, there's a few things. Parents play a big role, and parents have to look the positive things in their kids. If they have the time, which they should unfortunately make the time, is number one, they should help the read with the child, because ADHD kids, especially the inattentive, find it lazy and boring to read.
Mm-hmm.
Then they should help the kids also daily to organize their homework, what time they're coming, and they should, if they can have the system where they have a book with the teacher, where they tell them the homework. But these days they have WhatsApp groups, so teachers send the homework around, or the kids have the homework around,
mm-hmm.
and that way they can get the homework done. Because most times the ADHD kids will forget to
take the homework
down.
Yes.
So make a schedule for these kids at home. Make simple home rules. They need structure. You cannot just watch TV anytime and eat anytime. Usually they should come from school, they should change, and they're coming from a dresser, they should change and
mm-hmm.
snack, and then exercise a bit, about 30 minutes. Exercise is a very important part of the treatment. If they exercise, it makes homework easier.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to exercise 30 to 45 minutes, and unfortunately, it has to be 5 times a week, not once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so bicycle is a great way, a trampoline is a great way, and lastly, if they want to go to the gym or with the parents, and that's great, but exercise is very important. But the effect of exercise, as I told you, in the morning there's 4 hours benefit,
mm-hmm.
in the afternoon there's 2.5 hours benefit. So
mm-hmm.
technically, if you don't want medication, you have to exercise 5 times a day, which most people can't do.
Yes.
The next thing is they have to make simple rules where at home, that rules are followed. The structure is just important. And then the parents at home, to help the child, they must make sure there's direction that the child understands, so that it talk slowly, deliberately, and you're going to look at the child in the eye,
mm-hmm.
eye to eye, face to face, so the child might sometimes, excuse me, lip read, or if they're not being able to register the sound, because 32% of what the parents or what the teacher says goes right through the brain of the kids. The kids don't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the kids are the ones who listen. So if you tell the child, go upstairs, bring the passport, bring the ticket, and bring the bag. Mm-hmm. They go up and only bring two out of the three things. They forgot the third thing
mm-hmm.
because it went right through their brains. So that they didn't want to do it. They didn't hear it. It didn't register.
Yes.
So we got to help them. Don't give them too many instructions at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you got to reward them with good behavior as soon as you can, and you have to supervise them. If you find constantly that you're supervising your kids and the kid doesn't have friends and he has the symptoms of ADHD, then you need treatment.
Mm-hmm.
What is the main reason why you should treat these kids? The reason is low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
When a child who has ADHD or not even ADHD and he fails, the first thing he's going to do when he comes home, he says he's stupid. And you tell him, no, you got 164 IQ and this and that. It means nothing to him. He's played the subject and to him he's stupid.
Mm.
So the earlier you prevent him from getting a lower self-esteem and the earlier you treat him, the better it is.
Yes,
He'll get into more difficulty over the years. Things become harder. He won't be able to perform and get into more trouble and then you really have to treat him at that time or you can get into trouble with the law or any other things.
And it'll be very difficult to also change that perception of himself when he's older. When he's younger, for him to grow up with a positive self-concept, it'll be very much, much easier than when he's older.
Yeah. The other things in at home, what the parents can do is watch the child around the friends. How are they playing? Is he playing on his own or is he socializing with the friends? And if there's any good behavior, you should reward him. And set up a daily homework routine. The enemy of homework these days is cyber addiction, TVs, radio, PlayStation. And usually the American kids, during the week, they don't give the kids any PlayStation, Game Boy or TV. That's a big enemy. But if they really want TV and Game Boy and PlayStation during the week, then they have to earn it. They have to clean their room or do their homework, finish, you check it. They can buy half an hour from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
During the weekends, it's fine. They give them 3 hours on a Saturday, 3 hours on a Sunday. But not carte blanche, not as much as they want. So you have to structure.
Mm-hmm.
Very important part is you got to focus on the effort of the child, not the grades.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't go on A's and B's. This is how much effort he puts in, and most times he'll do better than expected.
Yes.
And you need a good relationship for the parents with the teachers. So the parents should talk to the teachers.
Yes.
And, okay.
But we're gonna discuss it more after our break of how educators can support learners with ADHD. But before we cross to our break, we spoke about the importance of diet. So, you know, just for our listeners, what would be the appropriate diet for learners with ADHD?
ADHD, the neurotransmitters that are low, are protein derivatives. So you need a high protein diet, low carbohydrate diet. So low carbohydrates, as you know, is bread, rice, potato, pasta. You should decrease that. High protein is egg whites, white chicken, lentils, white fish, veggies, the things that they don't like. But the latest work, 32 years work of diet has changed a bit. In the past, they always said if your diet is fine, you can't get ADHD. No, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, a poor diet does not cause ADHD, and a good diet doesn't take away ADHD. A bad diet is bad, a good diet is good.
Mm-hmm.
But ADHD is not caused by poor diet, so you cannot change the diet and ADHD will go away. That's not true. They've done a lot of research, and it's not true. Yes, if you give them colorants and coffee and all and sweets, they'll fly, but that doesn't mean it causes ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
You already have the ADHD, or you have the tendency to have ADHD, but you cannot, with a bad diet, get ADHD.
Yes.
So, similarly, genetically, it's highly genetic. Bad parenting cannot cause ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
It's the genes that cause ADHD. So you shouldn't feel guilty that you cause ADHD as a parent, although it is highly genetic.
Yes.
Looking after one ADHD child is like looking after three non-ADHD children.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a wife that has a husband and two kids, and one is ADHD, and more than likely her husband or her might be ADHD, so there's three kids for the one that has ADHD, the other one that doesn't have ADHD is four kids, and the one spouse that doesn't have ADHD is five, and the one spouse that has ADHD is worth two adults, one spouse in adults is worth two adults, it's seven, so you're looking after seven people.
Yes.
So in Canada, for every three, you get a free nurse. So
you're
looking after all these two. The women are doing a great job, they're looking after these kids, and they should be rewarded.
Yes.
But looking after seven kids is like working with minus two nurses.
Yes, definitely, very taxing.
Very heavy work, a very difficult work, and you must praise the mothers for doing such good work. And as friends, they should help them, give them, take over and help the mothers and give them some time.
Absolutely. Dr. Gio, we're just going to take a short air break. We return soon. To our listeners, please call us on 011-854-1548 with your questions. If you are a parent of a child with ADHD, please share with us your experience. How are you coping? What advice can you share with our listeners? We'll be very, very looking forward to listening to you and how you can assist other people, and we will return shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Rahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you're back with me, Bibi Aisha, here on Youth Talk. To our beloved listeners on Radio Islam International and Sirius FM, we urge you to call us on 011-854-1548. If you are a parent of a child with ADHD, please call us. Let us know your experience. How are you supporting your child? What advice can you share with our beloved listeners? We also have, as our guest in studio with us today, the very dynamic psychiatrist, Dr. Shabir Amajiwa, who is regarded as an expert in the field of ADHD. Just before the break, we spoke about how parents can create an ADHD-friendly environment for their children at home. And I think now a question that a lot of us educators would need clarity on: what can we as educators do to support learners with ADHD? Now, Dr. Jiwa, just bear in mind, I'm speaking from a government school perspective where we sit with children, with up to 40 children per class. And as we already established that a child with ADHD is equivalent to three children, what support can you give us? What advice can you give us educators?
Well, first of all, certain colleges for teachers that will help them is they need a knowledge of ADHD. Every teacher doesn't know about it, so it doesn't mean that everybody makes an opinion on a child. So in a school, there should be one or two, three liaison teachers who enjoy and who know about ADHD, and those are the teachers that can talk to the parents, because it's not even fair for the teachers who don't, if they might not know enough about ADHD, they should be in the middle to talk to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then the teachers should be aware of the different management methods besides medication, because there's still a lot of stigma and taboo against medication. So they should know the holistic treatment, which includes exercise 5 times a week, includes diet, high protein, includes a good sleep, includes meditation. And the school can do, the teachers can help a lot with exercise, because when to punish a child or consequence a child, instead of putting him in a corner where it's boring, they'd rather make him run around the class or run around the field. That will help more. The next thing is that they should know several treatments. They should not have a specific opinion of a specific treatment, because the parent might be doing that treatment and will have a problem. And these ADHD kids are usually very funny, so you need a positive attitude towards them. You must be able to understand them. And you should work with other interdisciplinary team. You work with the principal, work with the sports teacher, work if you've got a psychologist or a therapist, work with everybody. If you've got a very big class, unfortunately, it's going to be ruling. It will be difficult to control these kids. And it's more than likely you tell the parent the child is not doing as well as you expect or you could, would they consider having him assessed? As I said earlier, do not use the word Ritalin and do not use the word ADHD. Today our topic is on ADHD. It's not on Ritalin. We're just talking specifically about ADHD. Ritalin is one of the tools of ADHD. So then the parents should also see how they can help these kids as far as the teachers should also check how they can help these kids regarding accommodations. These kids are entitled to have an accommodation.
Of course, it's part of the inclusion.
There's a special form in our office where we apply for it. The first one says they must sit in front and middle. Front and middle. If they sit in the middle of the class or the back, they get distracted. So they should also be given 20-30% more time for exams, tests, or projects if they need to. Now, sometimes, especially the inattentive kids, they would need it because they don't finish their work there, but slower, not in IQ, but in speed and EQ. So the teacher should give them more time. But usually these classes are so full and so busy, they're not going to give them more time, so then they should give them less work. Because giving the same time and less work is the same as giving them the full work and more time. But they might not have more time because it goes into the next period. So they have to possibly give them less work. And reduce the volume of work for these kids to 80%, not to 110%. And have a weekly, daily progress report and they should find other ways to do tests. If they can't write well, do orally or need to get a scribe. So there's many, many accommodations. If they have specific learning difficulties, 50% of the ADHD kids will have learning difficulties.
Okay.
So what does that mean? They have difficulty with reading or writing or spelling or math or arithmetic. If there's difficulty with any of them, it doesn't mean your IQ is low. It means the wiring of the computer is not right. There's something wrong with the wiring. So you can get remedial help with that. And these kids are entitled to accommodation to sit in front and get all this extra time, and, and you need to do a psychoeducational educational testing.
Yes. Like you mentioned earlier, obviously structure is very important at home and routine. So naturally in the classroom also structure and routine. Like you said, give clear instructions, not too many instructions at the time. Am I correct?
Yes. They cannot take many instructions one at a time, face the child, and praise him for whatever he does work. It's not the quantity of work he does, it's the effort that you must praise, not the amount of work he does. Because if his speed is not up to the other guys, then he won't catch up. But if he has made an effort, you have to praise him.
Yes.
And basically, you've got to decrease his total workload, in smaller quotas of work. Sit him in front near the teacher. They have a traditional desk system, so he must sit in front.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the very naughty ADHD kids, they become prefects or they become class leaders.
Yes.
So instead of becoming a class clown, he should be the teacher's helper. You get the best out of this child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the teacher, they should sit near the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is they need frequent exercise breaks. They need, if they're restless, they must be able to get up and go to the washroom.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can involve the kids to clean the board and be more active rather than, because if these ADHD kids are not involved in your teaching, then they'll get bored and they'll distract the other kids and be a class clown and it'll disrupt the whole class.
Mm-hmm. And worse still would be to lead to their self-esteem going very low, and that's what you really don't want to be having.
Yes. And buddy system is good, so there's a friend they like who is very good in certain subjects, they can work with him and they can help each other, so study buddy is very important and helps him a lot. And for the teacher themselves, they can put high activity and low activity teaching together so that it doesn't get boring.
Mm.
Unfortunately, rote memory doesn't help too much, so they have to be more animated and theatrical.
Yes.
And whenever they want something from the child, try to get close and touch the child. The ADHD kids like to be touched.
And
if they're going to do any... Last two things, if they're going to do any difficult work, they should do the difficult work earlier part of the day while they're still possibly on medication or they're rested, and then the tough and the easier part later in the day, which they don't finish, or they can do it next day, or they're tired but they can still finish.
Yes.
The teachers play a big role. We should find a balance between the teacher and the parent. There's no sense the teacher's complaining to the parents, your child is naughty, your child is dead. What can the parents do? The parents have already hit the child thousands of times. So the teacher should encourage the parents to come and see therapists or us or anybody else that they like, because there is help for these kids, and it's a parent's responsibility to see that these kids get assessed.
Of course.
It's also the parent's responsibility to see that these kids get treated.
Yeah,
because as the years go, the hyperactivity will get less, the impulsivity will get less, and by the time they hit university or matric, the wheels they'll crash and the wheels will fall off. And they'll fail, and you wonder, what happened now? How did he fail? Because all those years, we didn't treat the child.
We were in denial. And like you say, it's very important for parents and educators to work together. Sometimes, you know, for a parent to accept that, yes, my child has this condition. We need to get rid of those stigmas, really. We need to accept your child for who your child is and move forward providing your child with the best possible
qualities in a child. Look for the funny part, because it's a strength-based treatment. That means whatever he's good in, let's go to town with it. Let's let him become a car salesman instead of becoming a doctor if he doesn't want to study.
Yes.
He wants to sell cars. Let him sell cars. So why not?
Yes. Yes. So what would be your advice to society in general when it comes to stigmas? Because we do realize that, you know, times it's very difficult for parents who have children with ADHD when they're going out in public, you know, say they're attending a wedding or they're going to the mall and it's very busy and your child is hyper, your child is tired, your child's bored, and then people turn around and look at you and you're getting all embarrassed. I mean, there's no need to be embarrassed. You know your child's needs. Accept your child.
So in our community, it's very difficult many times to accept a child that's different, especially if you've got 2-3 children and one is different.
Mm-hmm.
So parents are scared and they're finding it difficult to accept because the first word that comes to their mind is a child is slow, they're stupid, and it's a reflection
mm-hmm.
on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
The parents cannot cause ADHD. The genes of the parents could possibly cause it, but they themselves in caring for the kids cannot cause it.
Yes.
So the earlier they assess them, the better it is. And the telltale signs are complaints from teachers,
mm-hmm.
complaints from friends that they're fighting a lot, and constant supervision. If you constantly have to look after your child in other people's homes and everywhere else, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these children, the ADHD kids can get into trouble with difficulties. They can be into bad behavior, and that can get in trouble with the law. So
mm-hmm.
in these things, we have to help the parents that if you don't treat them, what will happen to these kids?
When they grow older.
They grow older, the kids with learning difficulty will continue having learning difficulty, but if they accommodate it in somehow, there will be some help.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of the treatment that you can treat and you can help is things like the opposition defiant disorder, which means they have a temper, they're belligerent, they're difficulty, they fight with everybody. That can be treated. It shouldn't be left like that. It doesn't mean a child that's naughty shouldn't be looked at again.
Of
he might
course.
Have ADHD, that's must.
Yes.
Because if you don't treat them, they'll get into what we call conduct disorders, behavior problems. They can get into lying, stealing, fire setting, and even drugs and alcohol. So
mm-hmm.
we have to treat it very early and get some help. And basically there is help, and the success rate is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're worried about things like medication and that, why don't you just try it for 3 months? If you don't like it, you can throw it away.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's the gospel.
It's the be-all and end-all, yes.
No. In mild cases, exercise does a great job. In moderate and severe cases where they get into trouble repeatedly, unfortunately, then you have to take out your medications.
Mm-hmm.
But things like, as I said, exercise is a great thing, prayer is a great thing, omega-369 is great, cutting down the carbohydrates, increasing the proteins, all that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Also, lastly, cutting down stimulating foods like sweets and sugars, cut it down. Smoking, cut it down. Coffee, chocolate, Coke, Red Bull. They're all stimulating foods that makes you feel lacquer, and
mm-hmm.
you have to cut it down because you develop tolerance and pre-addiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to make it worse for your child in the future. Okay, Dr. Jiwa, before we end off the show, I'd just like you to share your contact details with our listeners. How can they get in touch with you? You know, we are aware that you do run the ADHD clinic in Waverley in Johannesburg. If you could just tell us more about that.
Yeah, we have a website that has all the questionnaires for adults and children if you want to assess them. It's www.ADHDclinicjeeva.com. So it has all the rating scales for children, for adults. It has all the articles. It has TV shows, radio shows, whatever. If you are interested in ADHD, it's all there and you can access it anytime.
Okay, could you please just repeat the website?
www.ADHDclinicjeeva.
Mm-hmm.
That's one word.
Okay.
ADHD Clinic Jeeva, J-W-E-V-A, clinic is C-L-I-N-I-C, J-W-E-V-A, ADHDclinicjeeva.com.
Okay, telephone details, please.
011, the office phone number is 011-440-4425. The other thing is that for parents, if the treatment is very expensive, SARS has made it an official disability,
mm-hmm.
so you can deduct your books you read, the coaching, the gymming, the consultation, the medication, anything that you have to pay from your pocket if you can't afford it. SARS has made it an official disability, so it can go back up to 3 years. You can get a form from my office
mm-hmm.
if you haven't already used it, so that's advantage for us because it is an expensive treatment anyway.
Yes. Before you leave us, what would be your final words to our beloved listeners regarding ADHD?
Okay, this is an Islamic program, and among the Indian community, ADHD is the second highest in the world.
Sure.
So we have to be aware of it. Further, they cannot sit still and they're restless, so they have to go to other places. So that's how our grandparents came from India to South Africa. They're restless, agitated, and they made a great success.
Jeez.
But there are certain people that didn't make a success, so we have the gene to do magic.
Mm-hmm.
There is great treatment. Assess them. ADHD does not mean Ritalin. ADHD means your child has difficulty in some areas of his life which can be fixed. it's not something that is a death sentence. Actually, it's a funny part. If you look at Richard Branson, Tom Cruise, Robin Williams, all these famous people, and Einstein, Kennedy, they all had ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So we as ethnics, we have to help our kids. Doesn't mean if a child is clever that he doesn't have ADHD. That's totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a normal to a high IQ, which is an ADHD condition, but you can still have ADHD. So if he's coming out first and he's doing very well, doesn't mean he doesn't have ADHD. On the contrary, you're depriving him of even doing better. If he's coming out first and all that with ADHD, he might be getting 70s, but if you treat ADHD, he'll get about 85.
Yes.
So he'll get much higher. Most people with high IQs and ADHD that were not treated do not land up in good jobs, do not land up in good careers,
mm-hmm.
and they land up in more difficulty, and they do not get help in school, they do not get accommodations everywhere because they're so bright. But the ADHD is must 40% of the superior IQ ADHD, they drop out at high school at least one, and 42% were unemployed as adults in evaluation.
Just so because they were misdiagnosed, or they just
life.
Passed by the system.
Yes.
That's actually very, very sad. And the whole thing is, I mean, like we said, the Almighty created each and every one of us unique. We all have some ability or some disability, but it doesn't mean that we're not worthy of achieving greatness.
Yes, definitely. You can see in all communities, with proper help, there's a great future for these kids. They can be helped. And they don't need to be criticized and pushed down with a low self-esteem. Bring out the best in them. Look for the funny things. Look at the good things in them. Look at things that we can go forward. So it's a strength-based treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're good in, let's take that and go to town.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Jazakumallahu khairun so much for your time, Dr. Jeeva.
I
wish you success in all your future endeavors. And please continue doing the amazing work that you are doing. May the Almighty Allah reward you in abundance, inshallah.
Alright, thank you very much.
Jazakallah, thank you so much. There was Dr. Jeeva, psychiatrist, specialist in the treatment of ADHD. I would just like to share some news with you that today is my last show on Youth Talk for a Sunday. It's from next week, Saturday, the 4th of November. Inshallah, Youth Talk moves from 2 to 3 on a Sunday afternoon to a Saturday between 11 and 12 a.m. Between 11 and 12. So I would like to just extend my heartfelt gratitude to my beloved listeners from Radio Islam International, from Sirius FM. Thank you for your du'as. Thank you for your constant support, your positive feedback. Thank you to all my guests who have made Youth Talk reach where it has and where it has come today. May the Almighty accept our efforts, and together we can make such a big difference. So please, make a note of the new time slot change. Youth Talk will no longer be on air on a Sunday between 2 and 3, but as from next week, Saturday, the 4th of November, it moves to a Saturday between 11 and 12. Our guest next week, inshallah, will be Maulana Arshad Fakir, and we will be talking about janaza and burial of a Muslim and etiquettes of attending a mayat. So to empower our youth as well, be aware of death. As a Muslim, you know, we should be embracing death. We can return to our Creator at any time. What do you do in the case of a janaza? So inshallah, may the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts, and inshallah, I look forward to hearing from you. And once again, thank you for your continued support. Much appreciated. Jazakumallahu khairan. Have a blessed week ahead, and please remember us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.